Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Remember, me and Nate, Gary Dieter, and Cornell Powell will be at the Johnny's Tavern Parkville location right there at 435. We'll be there tomorrow night, Friday night, from 5 until 7 for a special AFC Championship countdown show. We'll be meeting and greeting from 5 to 6, and 6 to 7 we'll be on the air with Gary Dieter, Cornell Powell, me, Nate Bucati. Johnny's Tavern in Parkville, right at 435, tomorrow, Friday, from 5 until 7. Right now, let's have Nate Bucati set up some of the conversations that he had while I was with Todd Lebo at Arrowhead Stadium for the Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Reed and Isaiah Pacheco and Nick Bolton press conferences. Nate and Seren Petro went to the locker room to talk to some of the other players. Nate, what do you got for us?
Well, let's start off with Colin Saunders, as we talk a lot about the Chiefs and their need to slow down the Bengals on defense. He talks about what this defense can do to help out the Chiefs' offense on Sunday.
We're trying to go out there and definitely get after them and try to make sure that we don't allow too many points that way, that our offense, we don't put too much stress on Pat, have him ask him up too much. And that's the mindset of every game. It doesn't matter if he's injured or not, though. Whenever we're going out there, we want to make sure that Pat doesn't have to be superhuman. And that's regardless if his ankle's bummed or if he's fully 100% healthy. We always want to do our part. And so we don't want to be bailed out, per se, by the offense. So, we're definitely going to hone in and focus in on our keys to be able to stop their offense a little more than we have in the past. I mean, like I said, it's always been three-point games. All three last games has been decided by 3 points. So, like I said earlier, we just got to come out on the other side of those 3 points. That's all we've been focusing on this week.
How would you describe the rivalry between you and the Bengals?
It's two good football teams. I don't know how much of a rivalry it is yet. You know, we've only played them 3 times, and obviously they got the better of us 3 times. But at the end of the day, we're all going for the same goal, which is a Lombardi Trophy. And so, you know, we've had our share of times being there. They've been there last time. And this is one of those times we get to play directly to be able to, figure out who's going to go this time. So it's a great challenge. And, it's fun always. You always hear the word rivalry. You think like all bad blood, blah, blah, blah. I mean, everybody, whoever I'm playing against for the championship, I'm a rival with. So I don't care if it was the Titans, the Browns, the Texans. I'm a rival with them, you know. So that's my rival for this week. And that'll be my rival for this week. And then after this week, it's going to be whoever comes out the NFC.
Whoever I'm playing against for the championship is a rival,
right,
says Colin Saunders. Well, we got some interesting information from Jalen Watson, rookie corner, who had a big interception in the game last week, a one-handed interception. And remember, he started the season off with that big interception against the Chargers as well. And he spoke with us yesterday.
You talk about the best receiving core. You've seen him once before. How much does that help, or how much does that change things, the fact you're going to see him for a second time?
It helps because we know how they want to attack us, what they're looking for. So go back and look at that film and try to make the corrections on it.
How different are you as a player compared to, a couple months ago now?
The game is slowing down for me, starting to see things before it happens. The vet's doing a good job, teaching me how to watch film, teaching me how to be, a vet in this game.
When you say the game's slowing down, I hear a lot of people say that once you get to the playoffs, the game speeds up a little bit. Did you feel like that was the case last week when you got a taste of it?
I think your emotions are pretty much higher, but everything else is pretty much the same. It's still football. It's still got to go out there and compete and play.
Can you describe what it's like like what's Sunday going to be like for you driving to the stadium? You know, like what's it like for you on a game day, especially a game like this?
You know, emotions going to be high, but I never try to get too high, get too low. So that's where the mental errors come in. At the end of the day, it's just football. Go out there and have fun with my brothers.
I'd make someone drive me.
You don't you kind of like your time in the car, though, listening to music, getting your head right when you come in here?
Nope.
Well, he could probably find somebody to drive.
I'm spoiled now because, you know, for, let's see, for 2 months after back surgery, Susan drove me everywhere, mm-hmm. and I've taken to it. I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I relax. Sometimes I sleep. She'd bring me out here, I'd sleep.
That's
on
nice.
The way here. Oh, yeah, very nice. I find myself refreshed just after closing my eyes for a little bit. Yeah, I think I'd be too nervous. I'd ask someone to drive me.
You know? I always like to just driving to the game, whatever, you know, when it's a big game, just as a fan. I always think about, like, what it must be like, that ride to the stadium if you're one of those guys. Well, we had a chance to talk to Chad Henne in the locker room yesterday, because obviously there's, you know, he played a big role in the game last weekend, and he's got to be on a little bit of a heightened state of alert just because of all the stuff we're talking about with Patrick Mahomes' ankle, and had a chance to catch up with him yesterday.
You have the perspective as a veteran of how hard it really is to get to this point. There's a lot of rookies in this locker room that their first year they're in the AFC Championship game at home. Do you spend much time explaining to them how hard this is, or what, you know, the perspective that they have to have on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think as leaders, I mean, you just definitely like play one game at a time. I mean, you're never going to be back at this spot each and every year. My first year, we made the playoffs in Miami in 2008, and then it took me 10 years to get back to the playoffs. So it's not given. You still have to work each and every week to get there. But at the same time, us, our leaderships, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, you know, our defense, we got Jay Reid and Chris Jones, they step up and make sure that this game is just not just another game, but play it like it's another game.
With Patrick's injury, are you getting more reps? Are the reps in practice changing any this week? And not, maybe they've done it just in case you had to play, but just to kind of rest him during practice?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends how he feels today in practice. You know, we'll go out there, he'll test it. Obviously, we just had a walkthrough, but whatever he feels, if he needs a break and, you know, needs to take some time off, I'll step in right away and see where we go from there. But it's all how he feels out there in practice.
You ever had a high ankle sprain? I'm sure you have, right?
Well, I broke it in year we won in 2019.
Oh, yeah,
so I broke it and I had an ankle sprain with it. So I know it doesn't feel good. Sometimes they say it breaks better than the high ankle sprain, but he's a warrior. I mean, obviously, he saw that last Sunday and has done a great job rehabbing in his last couple days. But, you know, his mindset is that he wants to play and he's going to be ready to go.
So he said, you know, his reps would all depend on how he feels in practice. You talked about how Mahomes was out there without a boot on, didn't look like he was limping, listed as a full participant. Do you think we don't get to watch the actual practice part. Do you think he's taking all the reps? Do you think they're giving any reps? Because usually the starter gets all the reps, you know?
Calling the Chiefs a liar.
Well, it's one thing to be a full participant. That doesn't mean, like he said, like if his ankle gets tired, I might go in there, something like that.
I don't know. But, you know, that's if not, that's the beauty of having a super experienced, older veteran quarterback who maybe he doesn't need that.
Yeah.
And he just played.
Yeah. Well, that's, he kind of showed that last week, didn't
you
he?
You know, whatever you need, that's, look, people have questioned, why is Henne the backup? There you go. There it is. Don't ever question it.
He's
helped this team win two divisional round playoff games.
Isn't it an interesting job that your job is to be completely prepared for something that everyone hoping doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, and that probably won't happen. But boy, if it does, we need you to be ready. I think that's...
You're that guy that nobody wants to see in there.
If you have the right mentality and you show that you are always prepared and you are also can serve as somewhat of a conduit between the coaching staff and the starting quarterback, and you are there to serve the quarterback as his backup, as if you're an older guy, as a mentor, whatever. An extra set of eyes off the field to help you evaluate what you're seeing. If you can do those things, and then most importantly, if you can gain the trust of said quarterback and the head coach or any head coach, then you can make a wonderful living for years and years, a la Chase Daniel. Right? Why is he always, whenever he's available, immediately snapped up for more money than people think he should get paid? Because the coaches trust him, because he's not there to try to steal someone's job, because he's super smart, he has a great offensive mind, and really nice beard. He's done really well with his beard. And you know that, and there's never any question that he'll be ultra prepared.
Right.
With his grasp of the offense, and he's there to do whatever you need him to do. And usually it's to stand and watch and help the quarterback figure out what he's seeing, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And that's clearly, I mean, because Chad Henne had his time playing in this league, but that's clearly what Chad Henne does, and he embraces it, and he's proven now multiple times that he is ready. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. So to answer your question, I don't know, maybe, but maybe not, because that's why you have a guy like that.
Right.
You don't have to worry about getting him ready. Now let's think about this. Who's the other guy in camp that people wanted?
Bouchel.
Okay, you'd be a lot more worried about, like, oh, we got to get him ready. Got to coach him up. Yeah. We got to give him snaps.
Yeah.
Chad Henne can roll out of bed, go take a dump, and then lead a 74-yard drive just like that.
Apparently a 98-yard drive.
And then go back to sleep.
And I think that's like the way he said it there. If Pat gets tired, I might go take a rep. It's not like I don't think there's any way that the Chiefs are going to be like, well, Patrick feels fine and he wants all the reps, but let's make sure we get Henne some reps this week just in case. That's not what they're going to do. The only way Henny's going to get any reps is if Patrick wants rest. If it's like, yeah, my ankle's kind of bothering me, well, let's sit you out, you know? So it'll be interesting to see, but either way, I think everybody can feel pretty good that they're going to get a professional that knows the game plan and can execute an Andy Reid offense if he comes into the game in Chad Henne. Now, defensively, I've been telling you this for a few weeks, Steven. I feel like maybe the most underrated guy on the Chiefs defense the second half of the season is Mike Dana.
I've never heard you say that one time.
Well, I believe that. But you've been a fan of his for a couple years, I feel like. I remember you in camp talking about how keep an eye on this guy. He's in his third year in the league now. He's got a career-high 5 sacks this year. All 5 of his sacks came over the last 6 games of the season. He had 2 sacks at the Chargers. He had 2 sacks at the Raiders in the last game of the season. So I think he's been a big part of the pass rush getting better and better and better as the year's gone on. And I had a chance to have a nice long chat with him yesterday.
First of all, can you just describe the emotions of what it's like going through a week like this, getting ready for another AFC Championship game?
You're just staying locked in, man. It's a lot of emotions, and, you know, you want to make sure you stay balanced through the process, you know. Just honing in on our key, our details, our coaching points, you know, practice, execution and things. You know, we just got to handle the things that come in front of us.
Well, it seems like the pass rush that you guys have been putting on has just been something that has grown week by week as the season's gone on. How do you feel about where you guys are as a group right now, and maybe what do you attribute that development to?
Well, I feel great right now where we are as a group. You know, I think we put a lot of work throughout the week in practice to where we can perform on Sunday flawlessly. You know, we take a lot of pride in our preparation, you know, during practice. And, you know, we just work together throughout the week. You know, chemistry is big when you're running them games on the D-line. And that's what we try to, you know, perfect.
I know talking with Chris Jones, he's brought up several times what happened last year against the Bengals and frustration about not being able to get Burrow to the ground in that game and how important that is. What kind of an emphasis do you guys put on that this time around, and maybe what are some of the keys to getting that done this time?
You know, we just got to finish, man. Every single rep, you know, we take one rep at a time, one drive at a time, and, you know, we got to finish. You know, it's not about how you start, it's just about how you finish, man, you know. We're emphasizing, you know, getting to the quarterback, you know, dominating the game, and, you know, it's on the D-line, on the O-line to handle this, and we got to do what we do.
I think that ever since Mahomes got here and you guys have been going to the AFC Championship game, people have been looking for who's that rival, who's that team that's like an equal to the Chiefs. This series with the Bengals kind of speaks for itself, but how would you describe this rivalry, you and the Bengals?
It's a big game, man. Every game is big in the postseason, you know, especially around this time. you know, late January in the AFC Championship is huge, you know. Like you said, it's a bunch of emotions, a bunch of, you know, excitement into this game. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. You know, we're working hard throughout the week to, you know, get the outcome we want. And, you know, let's keep it between the white lines.
Five straight AFC Championship games. That does not happen. Like, literally, that never happens. I think it almost could become, at least for fans, you almost maybe take it for granted a little bit. Do you have to remind yourself how special these opportunities are when they seem to come so often for you guys?
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, you always want to be present. You don't want to ever take anything for granted, man, you know, because opportunities like this don't ever come, you know, often. You know, some dudes in their career never reach that point or even get to that point. So definitely grateful, you know, just soaking it all in and, you know, just taking it one day at a time.
It seems like this is a situation where both teams can find a way to have a chip on their shoulder, even though they're both in the AFC Championship game. And I'm wondering about specifically you, because I feel like you've been one of the most underrated pass rushers on this team this year. You got a chip on your shoulder for any reason coming into this one?
Absolutely, man. You know, every week is a chip on my shoulder just to prove that I belong in the NFL, belong doing what I'm doing, man. Just simply that alone just, you know, make me want to be dominant, you know. But it's just a lot to prove this game, you know. I just want to play hard for my teammates, you know, play hard for my family. And, you know, I'm excited for this game, so I'm looking forward to it.
You can hear some basketball bouncing in the background, right? A little bit. Some guys were taking some jump shots. Music was playing. Some people yesterday asked me, hey, well, so what was the atmosphere like in the locker room? And I would say businesslike. When you heard a couple of the players I talked to say they want to treat this like any other week, even though they know it's bigger. That's another reason I think this game is going to be so great. Steven, you talked about the anticipation for this game compared to other AFC Championship games. This stage is not too big for either of these teams. They played in this last year. They both, most of the players on these two teams have played like in the Super Bowl. Now, the Chiefs do have a lot of young players. I do think it's interesting that the Bengals and the Chiefs have the two youngest rosters out of the four teams left in the playoffs on average. They're both young teams, but they're teams that have their leadership, they've all been here before. And so even for like the rookies that the Chiefs have, they're being surrounded by guys like Frank Clark and Chris Jones and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne, who have done all this before. And so, yeah, they're fired up. They've been wanting a shot at the Bengals since last year when they lost that AFC Championship game. And then again when they lost to them this year, they're fired up. But this stage isn't too big for either of these teams. They've already proven that, which means they're probably going to go out there and play their best football.
Speaking of the Bengals, no, we don't have to, but you want to hear anything from their camp?
Sure. You talking any trash or
you
what?
Have
we got?
Any other conversations you want to play before we
no,
go?
No, those are the four conversations I had yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a conversation with Luke Shano, but I didn't record
right.
That one.
Right.
Good guy.
Zach Taylor, Bengals head football coach. Mm-hmm. He says here, he was asked about Joe Burrow. It seems he never loses his cool.
It just goes back to his preparation can lead to that demeanor. You know, he's so consistent with his approach, which leads to me trying my best to be consistent to give him the information in the same rhythm every week to keep that routine. But he's just always so prepared and locked in. And so there's a calmness that comes with that when you know you've – we all know what it feels like to scramble at the last second when you're not prepared for something and to give a presentation or to do something. And you know deep down you're not really ready. And you know the difference when you've put in all the work and you walk up there and you nail it. And that's I feel like our team embodies that. They put in the work, and so then you all feel their confidence as they talk because they know they're prepared, and we're not there yet. We're only on Wednesday. We still have two more big days of work. But that's just, I think Joe's a great example of our team and just that calmness that comes from being prepared when you walk out there on Sunday.
A little bit of a whistle in his S's that was very distracting for me. A little bit like Herbert from Family Guy. You have any clips from Herbert? I think you do.
Watch the popsicles.
Sir. Yeah. That's what that reminded me of.
Come on over.
Sir. Yeah. Let's see if we had a
big old muscle throwing arm on you.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Let me hear some Herbert. You got some clips in there.
Hey there, Chris.
Yeah. So Zach Taylor will sound in 30, 40 years. They're in the system. Just look up Herbert.
That Joe Burrow had a nice muscly throwing arm on him, didn't he?
Or old man family got something. I know we got something in there. Were you with me when we interviewed the guy that does his voice, the writer of Family Guy?
No.
That was great. Thoroughly enjoyed speaking with him. All right, let's... Joe Burrow. Here Joe Burrow says the Bengals are confident but knows nothing will be easy on Sunday.
We've been in these spots. We have the experience. We know what team we're playing. Team that's been to this game the last five seasons, and they've all been in that stadium. So, to me, they're still the team to beat, and we're coming for them, but we know it's going to be tough. We know it's going to be hard fought, and we know the kind of players that they have on that side.
We'll try. Don't try to take back that underdog role. Vegas has you as a favorite. You just beat the Bills in Buffalo by 3 scores, and you beat the Chiefs 3 times in a row. You're the favorite. All pressure's on you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear them just start to. They were selling tickets to a different game. Try to plan ahead. While already now circulating on social media was the email that the Bengals sent out to their season ticket holders asking them to purchase tickets to the AFC Championship game, the potential game against Jacksonville.
Hey, I think the Chiefs are a plucky team that are lucky to be here, you know?
They were selling tickets to another game.
Yeah. That's bulletin board material for the Chiefs. The Bengals were looking past the Chiefs. They were expecting right. The Jags. They didn't even think we'd be here.
That's a nice muscly throwing arm you got there.
Thanks.
Got a nice tip for you right here in my pocket for my arthritis. Why don't you reach in there and fish it out for yourself?
He sounds very much like Zach Taylor.
He's talking to Joe Burrow. You got a nice muscly throwing arm on you.
Let's hear that whistle from Zach Taylor.
You raise it 6 octaves? Okay, this one's for Nathan M. I'm looking for a car that's been tricked out to look like an ice cream truck.
Damn it. I'm sorry, what?
You know, with colorful pictures of ice cream treats. And it plays a tune that's fun for the young children. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da.
Now play Zach Taylor.
It just goes back to his preparation can lead to that demeanor. You know, he's so consistent with his approach.
That's enough. It's only going to get worse, Zach Taylor.
He's got a nice muscly throwing arm.
I'd like to get my hands on him.
Joe Burrow was asked about...
He's got a handsome smile.
...having his former college teammate Ja'Marr Chase on his side.
Man, he's one of the best, so... Anybody that watches the tape can see it. You can double him. You can cloud him. You can have a guy follow him. He's gonna get his. You just got to find ways to get him touches because, like I said, of how dynamic he is with the ball in his hand.
The creativity that you guys had last week moving him around. He was lining up in the backfield, I think, more than we've seen. Is that fun, having a weapon like that move around?
you can tell how much attention he attracts from the defense when you put him in different spots. He attracts so much attention because of how fast and how big and how strong he is that it opens up opportunities for other guys sometimes when maybe he's not the primary.
I don't hear nothing else from him now. We've had it. Let's take a break.
Sure.
Now my mood has been soured by listening to Joe Burrow. Let's listen to Adam Kaplan after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP.
is doing good. You know, I've had a few days of treatment, a few days of rehab. Excited to get on the practice field and kind of test it out and see where I'm at. But it's feeling good so far. I haven't got to go out and practice yet and put myself in those positions. I've done limited stuff, kind of in a small kind of box of what I can do. But I'll push it a little bit today and then the next day again and see what I can do that not re-aggravate the injury, obviously, but to push it to see what I'll be able to do on Sunday.
Patrick Mahomes listed as a full participant in practice yesterday. And he looked good to me walking to and from the podium. And then video out there of him warming up for practice. Let's talk about the conference championship games with our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan, who joins us every Thursday. What's up, Adam? How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you. Yeah, look, so what he's got, I believe, based on a lot of things and based on the fact that he took all the first team reps yesterday, which is really important, it's got to be what we call a mild high ankle sprain. Your typical high ankle sprain is a 4 to 8 week recovery. I mean, I've covered this business, particularly from an injury standpoint, for 21 years, and that's usually what it is. A mild one, you could actually play the next week, but you're not going to be close to 100%. There's just certain things you won't be able to do. The key for him, as you saw in this past game, because it's his power leg, the plant leg is the left ankle, and the injuries on his right foot, his right ankle, he's got to power off that. You saw how gingery he was. He had trouble stepping into throws. He's got to somehow to be able to step into throws. If he can do that, he'll be okay. If he can't, it's going to be a long day. And you saw what happened. They ran a little bit more than they probably wanted to. Not that they run a ton, but they had to run a little bit more because they weren't quite sure, since the injury happened during the game, what exactly they could not do with Mahomes.
So let's set it into perspective this way, Adam, because we've seen so many moments in Patrick Mahomes' young career already that stand out, that will when we tell the story of Patrick Mahomes someday, we're going to be talking about, hey, remember 13 seconds left and he beat the Bills,
sure,
all these different things.
Sure.
Where would this one be? Like, how significant would this be if he goes out there on this ankle and beats the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game?
Well, you always have to put context. How did they do it? Now, again, we know Andy Reid very well. I can't imagine they're going to run the ball 30 times. It's just not his thinking, no matter what. I mean, if Mahomes is going out there, they're going to throw the football. And based on the way the Bengals are playing, we'll get to them, they're playing outstanding football. They're going to have to score. And the weather right now looks like it's going to be okay for Sunday, so that's good. Look, it'd be great. Look, if he's a major factor, if he puts the team on his back, then we'd actually have to go back to the chapters of his career and start ranking. That's a great way to phrase it. I like the way you're looking at that. It sucked when he got hurt. I felt, in watching that game, to me, I think they would have scored 40-plus. The Jaguars don't have a very good secondary. If Mahomes doesn't get hurt, they have no problem beating them by double digits. But, you know, they did what they did. I'm just glad that they won the game. I mean, they scored 27, and Mahomes didn't play the whole game, and his ankle was not good. So, still impressive.
Okay, so that sets up this huge matchup between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Bengals have won 3 in a row, including last year's AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium. They beat the Bills 27-10 up in Buffalo. Tell us more about what the Chiefs will be facing on Sunday.
Yeah, so Joe Burrow is playing outstanding football. And the thing is, it's not a bunch of shot plays. Because of their issues on the offensive line, they've got three changes. Their left tackle, Jonah Williams, clearly not expected to play. The right guard, Alex Kappa, not expected to play. Collins, the right tackle, is out for the season with a torn ACL. And I got to tell you, Mahomes, he wasn't nervous. Burrow was not nervous last week. He handled it really, really well. They actually ran the ball well. They don't run the ball well at all. Buffalo had some injuries. Two out of their top four D tackles were hurt. So they actually ran the ball well. But look, he was patient. What they went was with mostly a short to intermediate passing game, and it worked. But the big story of that game was their defense absolutely shut down Josh Allen. It was not just that he didn't throw a touchdown pass. They're mostly a zone defense. They play a ton of post-snap and pre-snap disguise. And they made Allen hole in the football, and he just struggled. I mean, this is one of his worst games that I've seen in a while. And that's what you're going to see. That's what they do. In fact, one team told me it's very obvious when you look at their cornerback group. That's at Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, has done a great job, by the way. that's what he has to do, because there's no way one-on-one that he can match up to opponents' receivers.
So let's talk about the, a little bit deeper about that performance of their offensive line in Buffalo, because we have Nick Leckie, who played for the Saints and K-State's offensive lineman, in, on the show yesterday, and he was talking about how, you know, when it snows like that and the conditions are like that, defensive linemen have problems. They have problems rushing the passer. Advantage offensive line, advantage running game, advantage offense. It's going to be cold, but it's going to be dry at Arrowhead Stadium. Buffalo, like you said, the defensive line wasn't at full strength. Of course, no Von Miller. The Chiefs have Chris Jones, Frank Clark, second most sacks in the league. That's been one of the things they haven't been able to do against Cincinnati in the past, and that's get Joe Burrow down. Do you think maybe some people are minimizing the injuries on the offensive line because of what they did in Buffalo, but because the conditions would be better and the Chiefs' pass rush should be better, maybe this comes back to bite them and haunt them, the offensive line problems this Sunday at Arrowhead?
Yeah, see, it's funny you say that, because a lot of us, and the reason why the betting line was what it was last week is because so many people, and I get it, they were like, how in the world are they going to be able to stop the Bills' pass rush? Yes, Von Miller's out, but they've got Greg Russo. Shaq Lawson has been around a long time. They'll blitz Matt Milano, which they did. And Jackson Carman, who was drafted to be a guard, is playing left tackle. And then you've got Max Sharping, a former draft pick for the Texans, who they didn't want, by the way. And Akeem Adeniji is playing right tackle, play guard in the Super Bowl. You wouldn't think that this would work on the road. I know one coach told me last week, when you have all these changes that are done very quickly, you're always worried about communication when this group has never started together. And then, by the way, Ted Karras, their starting center, hurt his knee, actually. He came back, and he'll be able to play. But it worked. Now, you make a good point, though. The Chiefs' pressure rate is very high. They're not super high up in sacks, but they get a ton of pressure on the quarterback. That's why you're going to see a shorter passer game, which we saw last week with T. Higgins, with Chase, and the guy who really played well was number 88, Hayden Hurst, a former first-round tight end for the Ravens, and he's more of a finesse player, but very athletic. Of course, Tyler Boyd in the slot, and they are going to spread the Chiefs out. That this is what they do, and it's going to be a lot of quick game. They're not going to ask Burrow to have a lot of 5 and 7 step drops, a lot of 3 and 5, and get it out of his hands.
Let's go back to that defense that you talked about of the Bengals and the way that they shut down Josh Allen, and they've obviously caused problems for Patrick Mahomes. The second half of that game in the playoffs last year is one that Mahomes said is some of the worst he's ever played. We're talking about how Andy Reid is this genius. You've covered Andy Reid for decades, going back to his time in Philadelphia. It just feels like he's enough of an intelligent mind that he's got to figure out some sort of game plan to deal with the Bengals. What are your thoughts on what Andy Reid's going to be doing, getting ready for the Bengals this time around?
Yeah, to me, not that he's not in shotgun a lot, but the thing with Mahomes is you don't want to stress that right ankle. You want to avoid it as much as you can. There's only so much you can do, but I think in the end, he's going to look at the practice tape, and he's going to look at the way that Mahomes is moving. And he's also going to talk to Patrick, and he's going to say, "Okay, what do you feel like you can do and can't do? Do you think you could do this?" Because you know, part of what makes him special is his ability to scramble, and that's the other part of this which we haven't talked enough about with him, which makes him so special, is his ability to avoid the rush and make plays on the run. And we just don't know how well he could do that. But the fact that he took all the first team reps yesterday tells me that there's. He'll probably be a little bit better off than most people think with that injury. We know he won't be close to 100%, but maybe if there's 20 things he thinks he could do normally in a game, maybe he could do 15 of them. We'll have to see. But I'm sort of encouraged. Now we also have to see, folks, how did he respond to Wednesday's practice? We'll have to see what he also does today.
All right, let's before we get your official prediction for Chiefs and Bengals, let's jump over to the NFC side and tell us how you think the game's going to play out between the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, this is a wonderful game, folks. They played week two last year, but there have been 15 starting lineup changes combined for both teams, so you really can't look at much other than Jalen Hurts with the run-pass option. Yeah, the Eagles obviously destroyed the Giants. I think the Giants had no energy, and they just didn't have it, and the Eagles took advantage of it. They had took advantage of the bye week and did a phenomenal job. But this matchup is so good. This is, I cannot wait for this game, guys. This game is so even. I have a slight lean towards the Eagles because the difference between Brock Purdy has been an unbelievable story. See, the thing is here, he's done well on the road. Yes, he's 7-0. But he's not played in an environment on the road in a big game like this. And this environment is unlike anything other, maybe other than the old Black Hole when you'd play at the Raiders. This is a very unique place. And this is where I got it. And by the way, he didn't play great last week. So to me, I think I look at the Eagles getting after a little bit. They played a little bit more man coverage than they usually do, and they shut down the Giants. But this matchup, folks, is going to be fun. It's very, very even.
All right, so you got a slight lean to Philadelphia. Give us an idea of what are you – look, it's an explosive offense like the Eagles and a great defense like the 49ers. High scoring, low scoring, give us something that DeMarco can bet on.
Yeah, low scoring. I'm going to go 20-16 Eagles.
20-16 Eagles, says Adam Kaplan. All right, let's go with the AFC Championship game. How's this going to play out, and ultimately what will the final score be?
Yeah, I'm going to pick it. I'm going to pick this game. This is a tough one. I'm going to pick it. Bengals 27, Chiefs 20. Mm. And I hope I'm wrong, and you guys can laugh at me next week. How about that? So, yeah, we told you were wrong. You know, I know I'm going to get hate on Twitter for saying this. I know it. Hey, by the way, I've been wrong before, so, hey, what do I know?
We have you on the show to give your opinion. You got to be honest, right?
That's right. That's
no
it.
Matter.
Guys, I will tell you, though, I would have picked the Bengals to win even if Mahomes never got hurt. They're playing so well, but you made a great point if the Chiefs are going to win it, they've got to get to Joe Burrow, and that front, because they've got so many good pass rushers, Spags has just got to fight it, and he's got to bring the heat here. He cannot be passive. I put it like my percentage. I've got a 55% chance of the Bengals to win. I'll tell you what, if they get to Burrow early, this thing could be very interesting. Then they definitely could win. You got to make him nervous. He is Joe Cool right now. Nobody's getting to him despite the issues with the offensive line. They've got to bring the heat here. That's what Spags has got to do.
They got to bury Burrow. I know, yep. but personally, wouldn't you like to see the Andy Reid Bowl between Kansas City and Philadelphia?
Oh, it would just be ridiculous. By the way, was there any hype with Doug Peterson last week, or did anyone care? Andy Reid disciple.
No, people cared, but you know, and we had a good conversation that about Doug Peterson maybe being undervalued as a coach, considering what he did in Philadelphia, now what he's done right away with Jacksonville. But no, that was certainly a storyline, and I thought that was very interesting. We all did. And Doug Peterson's the kind of guy that makes you a little bit nervous because, you know, he's very aggressive. And he clearly has done a great job with Trevor Lawrence, but, I mean, as soon as that ankle got hurt, that was the only storyline left. And
again, they would have put up 40-plus. I mean, they had no problem moving the football. It's just
I'm with you.
Their offense is impaired.
I'm with you. And so, final question for you. If Cincinnati wins, right, I mean, look, you have to understand they have great receivers. They have, and maybe that's more of an indication that the roster is better. I mean, does that, to you, because I heard someone say on national TV, well, if Cincinnati wins, then you can't say Mahomes is a better quarterback than Burrow. What does this game mean as far as what their legacies are and how they're viewed on the quarterback in quarterback rankings or the quarterback hierarchy in the NFL?
I love Burrow, but Mahomes has done it for longer. I mean, it's not going to damage it. Again, he's got the ankle injury anyway. Burrow is special, but so is Patrick. Patrick's done it for longer. By the way, I voted for Mahomes in two polls last week. What I love, guys, is, and I think I've talked about this before in your show, so many coaches I've talked to over the years have admitted how wrong they were on Mahomes. That's kind of the cool thing. And actually, one guy told me it actually adjusted the way he evaluates quarterbacks for the draft, because you can't hold it against them about a system that the guy played in. you got to look for special qualities, and Mahomes has that. It's probably, in 21 years of covering this business, the worst evaluated player by NFL teams, Patrick Mahomes. There's no question about it.
And look how many teams passed on Jalen Hurts.
I know. Well, see, that one, by the way, the Eagles took him way up. Their grade was not a second-round grade. In fact, I know we've talked about this at least once. They took him to back up Carson Wentz, and they never thought he'd be starting. Wentz signed a contract extension 10 months before they drafted Hurts. Think about that. It's crazy that Wentz now, next season, will be on his fourth team in 4 years. You can't make it up, but it is what it is.
Hey, does Zach Taylor get enough credit for what he's done, for being a good coach?
Not enough. I had a veteran coach tell me, who's up actually for an offense coordinator job right now, he said that he completely missed on Zach Taylor because he had been around him socially. He just didn't see it. Neither did I. Known people know him. You're right. It's a great point. No, I'm shocked at how good of a coach he's been. And by the way, his younger brother, Press, is the offensive coordinator for the Jaguars.
So we went through back before last weekend's games, like the eight coaches that were left, and kind of did our rankings, and it was pretty difficult. I had Reed, Shanahan, and then Taylor at the time, and I'm feeling good about that now that he got to another AFC championship game. But it brought up, to go back to the other side, we know Shanahan's, he already been to Super Bowl. All three of these other coaches have been to Super Bowl. But where does Sirianni belong in this? I found that one, like, I found it very tough to rank him because he's still new, you know, like, he's relatively new on the scene. But also, like, everything you hear is, man, he's got the best roster. I mean, the Eagles have the best.
The roster's so crazy. Yeah, that's what you hear from people. They probably have the best roster in the NFL. But the thing that I love about Sirianni is that I met him, but I talked to him like twice, like on at Colts training camp, but he doesn't really know me. But people told me how much energy he has and how he connects with players. See, last year I was shocked. They didn't have a very good roster last year. They've had major roster additions. I was shocked that they made the playoffs last season. It was supposed to be a rebuilding year, and they still made it. And then to see where they are now, and they had the number one seed, and quite frankly, if you look at their losses, the only one of them you could, the Washington one, they basically lost the game on their own. Washington really nothing to do with it. They just had too many bonehead plays. They're super well coached. They have a quarterback who's a dual threat and who's super hard worker, and he's well ahead of where people thought he would be, because when he was drafted, he was super raw and needed a lot of development. But if you see where he is now and the way he's coached and the way that Sirianni coaches, he's got a great staff. And by the way, both coordinators are interviewing for head coaching jobs. I mean, that tells you a lot.
Adam, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. We'll take a break. Gary Lezak after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. We got Gary Lezak coming up. He's tweeting things about the weather and the Chiefs, and then people are mouthing off to him, and then Gary's mouthing off right back.
Uh-oh.
Proud of you, Gary. You actually made some good points that we're going to throw at Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman and see if you know what you're talking about or you're just full of it.
Wow. What are those points that I made?
You read the tweet. You just tweeted it out right now.
Well, let's go over the details on the weather situation. Let's analyze the weather. Let's do it unlike ever before, because, you know, sometimes I talk a lot of weather, but I don't do a lot of weather on this show, you know? So let's look at it.
Yes, we know.
Yes. you say you love it. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. The most of the models, there is one model that actually has some light snow during the game. So we got to... That is a factor. So obviously, just, you know, you want a fast track, all right? You want the defense to have a chance to get to Burrow. So right now, most of the models have it dry, but it's obviously going to be cold enough to snow. And when it is brutally cold, temperatures in the teens, low 20s, it's not going to be zero. Okay, at least it's going to be in the teens or 20s. We can handle that. It's going to be good conditions. Get out there, get your tickets, and enjoy the game. And let's make a lot of noise, but. The conditions are this. The pressure gradient, a high-pressure area is moving our way, and high pressure should be strong enough to prevent the snow. But as I said, it doesn't take much when it's that cold. Right now,
most of the models keep it dry, so we're going to go with a dry scenario at this moment. We'll update this as we get closer. The pressure gradient allows us to have a northwest breeze at about 18 miles per hour, I'm going to guess. 18 miles per hour, so the flags up on the top of the stadium will be blowing. But in the bowl, down on the ground at Arrowhead on GEHA Field, the winds are usually lighter than they are up top. So we should have, maybe a 10 to 12 mile per hour breeze down on the ground. So not a major impact. The ball can go flying out of Patrick Mahomes' arms and hands and off his somewhat injured ankle and get to the wide receivers. And Juju Smith-Schuster needs to have a big day. But conditions look good, they look pretty good for football. And I think it's an advantage, Chiefs, if it's dry, as a lot of concern and questions about could Buffalo's defense, could they not just get their footing so they couldn't get to Burrow? Is Burrow just going to continue to be incredible, or are the Chiefs going to get to Burrow? And I think a dry field allows the Chiefs to get to Burrow. Chris Jones is finally going to get his first sack in the playoffs. What a statistic that is. Sack number one and two, maybe. And the Chiefs are going to win. Questions about the weather. Temperatures in the upper teens to low 20s.
Gary tweeted out, great weather to provide an advantage for the Chiefs, as Lindsey Anderson showed us the near kickoff conditions. Sack Burrow and beat the Bengals. Let's get loud. The hashtag Super Bowl 2023 is on the line. And then someone responded, how is this an advantage for the Chiefs, Gary? And then Gary snaps back, it's in KC. The field will be dry. And the Cincy offensive line is missing three starters. In Buffalo, the defense was at a disadvantage because of the snowy field.
There you go. That's all I should have said. I should have just read my Facebook post or my tweet.
See? That was good. No, you didn't back down. Okay?
Yeah,
the guy tried to talk down to you, and then you returned the favor.
Yeah, you're like Tom Petty.
And then someone, a man named Russell Stover, started tweeting at you.
Oh.
So, big fan of his work,
that was
by
a
the
treat.
Way. What else you got? Anything?
Yeah, I got a lot more.
Well, sure that you do.
I am telling you, this is getting exciting. I'm turning the corner right now at this moment. I'm finally reasoning, what the heck am I worried about the Cincinnati Bengals for? I mean, this is great. This is incredible to have a rivalry. It is amazing. You thought it was going to be the Bills. It's the Bengals, everybody. It is the Cincinnati Bengals. They're coming into Arrowhead, all right? If the Chiefs had a different year, it was back in the 90s, the 80s, the whatever decade you're talking about, we would think they could go in there and beat anybody at Arrowhead. It's ridiculous to be so nervous about it. I'm done with that. The Chiefs are going to go in there. They're going to have this energy. Patrick Mahomes is going to be spot on, amazing. Maybe he can't scramble the way he has. But as I said in that one game, the Tennessee Titans game, when he came back from the knee injury, he didn't rush once. He was in the pocket, like 36 for 50 for 446 yards, something like that. All right? He is amazing. He is the best. People are tired of the Chiefs around the country. They're not going to pick the Chiefs. There's going to be a lot of people that pick the Bengals, and that's good. They're somewhat of an underdog. Go, Chiefs. This is good. I'll be listening next hour.
Gary, that was one hell of a ramble and a rant. We appreciate that. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.